Welcome to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. Here we talk about all things franchising. What is it all about? Is it for you? How do you find the best one to own? And so much more. Now your host, Tim Parmeter.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. I'm Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Super duper excited today. We have not one, but two amazing guests with us today. And they are from Entrepreneur Magazine and entrepreneur.com, which is, if you didn't already know, the absolute thought leader in all things entrepreneurial. And we're going to talk about a handful of things with them today, including just came out the 2022 Franchise 500 list that they've done for almost 50 years now. So we want to definitely hear about that and some other trends and kind of what's going on in the world of franchising. I am so excited. I'm going to skip the part of the podcast that talks about Fran Coach and how we help people find the best franchise to own with over 500 partners in 60 industries, which I only sort of skipped. So let's get to our guests. We have Ms. Leanne Caruso and Jason Pfeiffer from entrepreneur.com. Jason, Leanne, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, I was going to say, and for those of us that are watching, Leanne is sporting some awesome Franchising 101 podcast merch working her way towards that Five Timers Club. So thanks for being back with us again today. Jason, we'll hook you up, brother, after we'll see how you do first. And then we'll hook you
see
up.
See how I do. Merch, right. So. No, I want to be able to earn it. I don't want to just be handed things.
Absolutely. We got a bunch of things to talk to you about with the Franchise 500, Entrepreneur in general. Give us like the Reader's Digest version, not the dissertation version of, we've had Leanne on before. So Jason, I'm totally putting you on the spot, brother. Give us a little scoop on you're the editor in chief of Entrepreneur.
I am.
But give us a little of your kind of background and what got you where you are.
Oh, sure. Well, it's a long story that I'll try to do in 30 to 60 seconds. I came from newspapers. I was a newspaper guy and then made my way into magazines and bounced around for a while, not really sure of exactly what it was that I was passionate about writing about. And when I got to Entrepreneur, which was 2015, everything just clicked. And the reason was because the thing that I love the most is talking to people who are willing to be open and vulnerable and show how they're thinking and be committed to the idea that sharing is of value. And I find that in entrepreneurs more than in any other group. Entrepreneurs are so open and they understand that the very nature of their work is to be running into constant challenges, so much so that they divorce themselves, or they at least aspire to divorce themselves from feeling any kind of personal responsibility for those challenges. They are just the challenges that we have to deal with. And so this community develops of people who are open about what those challenges are, and they want to share solutions and they don't want to hide the hard stuff. And I love that. And I will be honest with you, as we talk, have a conversation about franchising, I didn't really know that much about franchising when I came into Entrepreneur. I mean, I understood what most people do, I think, which is that franchising is very popular in the food industry. That's usually where people see it. So I was fascinated to learn about the absolute diversity of ideas and experiments and successes and trials and everything in franchising. And the Franchise 500, I feel like, is this perfect encapsulation of that, because every year we get to take stock of what is working in this industry and what you see borne out in the numbers. And the top of the list is always, of course, really interesting. You know, what are the big brands and how are they jockeying around? But to me, it's like the middle and the bottom of the list that I find almost the most interesting, because that's where you see really interesting new things come up and you see real inventiveness come up. I mean, like the the market for yard sign rentals exploded during the pandemic, and you can see that in our list. This is really fascinating stuff. And so I love how franchising is in some ways such a litmus test for the strength of an idea and the strength of execution. And I think that our list does a really nice job of every year tracking where those successes are.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't take long to look on the list where there's things people do know, but it doesn't take you long to get to the point where it's probably going to be something people are like, "Ooh, I didn't know that was a thing." Right. Not to be the spoiler, but like you mentioned, people do tend to think of here franchising, they think of food, right? And mm-hmm. at the top is one of them, right? That is going to be, I don't know, first two or three or four things people might think of when they hear the word franchising, right? But just the incredible range of things that are out there that could be a fantastic fit for somebody, and just the different stories behind that.
Right? That's right. So, and once you start talking to those folks, you discover how interesting and complex what might seem like simple businesses are. One of my favorite things that we published in this issue is this little anecdote, which is we put together this little feature called Myth versus Reality. The idea was here are franchises, and here's the hump that they have to get over as they are trying to appeal to prospective franchisees, because the nature of their business communicates something that people assume about what they need to be in order to be a good franchisee. And that actually can be totally wrong. So my favorite example of this was from a brand called Happy Cat Hotel and Spa, where you would expect, right? You would expect that they would want cat lovers, and there are lots of cat lovers out there. And then you call them up and you say, "Well, what's the myth that you are always trying to challenge?" And the answer is that everyone assumes that they're looking for cat lovers to be franchisees. They're not. Actually, cat lovers can be very challenging franchisees, because they are very, they have a very set idea of what you should be doing with a cat, and and maybe what their customers should be doing with their cats. And also they're you sort of imagine everybody's got a certain amount of energy to put towards different subjects, and maybe too much of that energy is put towards cats and not enough energy put towards growing a business. And so you really want somebody who's kind of, they like cats. You don't want somebody who hates cats, but you don't want somebody who loves cats. You want somebody who really understands branding and really understands growth and customer service first, and then cats second. And that kind of, I love that stuff, because just who would have known unless you called them up and asked?
Yeah. And so you're going to like this, Jason. The founder of Happy Cat literally emailed me that article.
Oh yeah.
While I was on the phone, also in that piece there's another franchise called Puroclean.
Yes.
I was on the phone with one of our clients who was looking at Puroclean, and her thing was she did not want to be like the one wading through, two feet of flood water or sewage or bio waste or whatever that they do as a cleanup. And so your article, almost immediately, that was like the day it came out, got passed to me before I even had a chance to like browse around and see it. And then was immediately useful for us with one of our clients for just that thing. It's like, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for, again, in most cases from a franchise perspective, you're not the doer. You're the person that is running the business, building the team, finding whatever like kind of qualities, core values match with you. I always say McDonald's owners don't flip burgers all day long. You can be the biggest slob in the world and own a cleaning franchise. And I think that's maybe the biggest difference between starting your own business and a franchise is somebody looks at the list of 500 franchises. Oh my gosh, they could all potentially be an option, because you don't have to be the expert in that field. The franchisor is. So
that's right.
Love that.
And I love, by the way,
you had out there.
Fun backstory. And then I'm going to shut up and let Leanne talk, who knows a lot more about franchising than me. That story concept, the myth versus reality, actually came from Puroclean. So I'm glad you brought Puroclean up so that they can get the credit that they deserve. Leanne and I were at a franchise convention in New York. Leanne, you can fill in the actual name of it because I've forgotten. And
IFE, the big one in New York City from MFE. Yeah.
There you go. So we were there and I got to chatting with somebody at PuroClean, and she told me this problem that so many of their prospective franchisees think that they have to be wading through, like, right, you know, dirty water at 2 a.m. And she's like, that's not it at all. Like, you don't do that. We have machines and you hire people to do that. And right, we want smart company builders. And I thought, I love that. And I bet that if PuroClean is having that problem, then other brands are having that problem too. And right, all you got to do is call around and suddenly there's a wealth of examples.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, it's 98% of franchises have that exact same thing. Right. Right. So without question. So Leanne, we talked to you, I don't know, almost a year ago, right? And you since then have come on board with Entrepreneur and really as the senior vice president of everything franchising for them. But what kind of got you excited about making this transition and being part of this amazing team?
So again, thanks for having me on again. And I'm super excited. It's kind of like a culmination of my entire career coming to work for Entrepreneur. Not only have I had a couple of my own businesses and used Entrepreneur as my, you know, my goal, my North Star, but then I fell into franchising, as most of us do. And so this kind of brings everything together. We're really an Entrepreneur working towards kind of evolving the franchise content and promotion and resources and education. We have a platform that I think we have so much opportunity to be the go-to for so many franchisors, potential franchisees, suppliers. So we just want to nurture the audience that we already have and bring more people to it. So it's a very exciting opportunity for me. And then, you know, all of my franchising experience and relationships, I'm just so happy to see it come together with such a great team. And this issue and releasing the Franchise 500 and being part of the process has been really enlightening. And I'm just so proud to be with this organization now.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, but I'm happier for them because the Entrepreneur just got a rock star with you. So,
thank you.
Tell us a little bit, what the heck is this Franchise 500 for somebody that maybe doesn't know? What is this? How's this all come about?
Yeah, so basically we have, first thing we do is we collect data, and once a year we invite anybody who wants to enter to give us all of their information, and then we start to analyze it. And it's basically their financials, it's their FDD, and we do research supporting all of the information that they gave us and kind of evaluate the data. High level, it's based on five different pillars that we look at, and they're all weighted a little bit differently. But it's potential. I mean, it's basically around costs and fees. It's around support. The size and the growth, how many units did you gain? How many units did you use over the last year? And then your brand strength. And that goes to system size, that goes to social media, years in business, years in franchising. And we kind of take all of that data and we have this like very interesting algorithm that pulls it all together and comes up with this list. And you can kind of track your ranking over the course of years. I know that there's some brands that have been on there 30 plus years, which I think is so interesting that they can see, you know, how they've grown from point A to point B. But this year it keeps getting more and more competitive, which I also think is very interesting. And of course that changes numbers. But this year we had over 1,100 people enter and, you know, came up with the 500, but that still allows us to look at so much information of what's happening in franchising. We can look at the resiliency, we can look at the growth, we can look at the communities impacted just by bringing in all of this information. So I encourage anyone and every franchise brand to enter into this so that we can all continue to learn more about what's happening in franchising. And even if you don't make the top 500, you're still featured. You still can be featured in other lists throughout the year. So from this information, we also take and create other lists like top new and emerging brands, which we're doing this year Prior, we only did new. Now we're doing new and emerging, kind of giving more light to those brands that are out there that might not be as big as the Taco Bell or the UPS store. And then, you know, we've got the best of the best. Those are the ones that are top in their category. So, you know, they're all the top QSR brand, the top education brand, the top, you know, food brand, that sort of thing. And then we've got franchisors, we've got top suppliers and all of that stuff. So we can learn a lot of information just by the list alone and the entries and the data that we collect.
Yeah. Which is just, it's going to take forever to do. And the mountain of data that's providing, and it's year 43, right? So, which is clearly longer than all three of us have been alive. Let's point that out, number one, right? So we've got that, but then be able to look at that from a cumulative effect. What are some things, because over the last almost 2 years into this ridiculous pandemic, right? So what are some things that you saw really from last year to this year from all of that data as far as any sort of trend or changes in the world of franchising?
Well, yeah, so there are, right. It's been fascinating as you were saying, 43 years. The thing that I first did in my head was try to remember a couple years ago, we found the very first franchise 500 list, and it was so awesome to see the categories, because, you know, even right down to the categories are driven by data and trends. And so, for example, we added three new categories to the list this year: salads, poke, or poke. Somebody's going to kill me for not knowing how to pronounce that. Even though I eat it a lot, I don't know what to do with the E, and ghost kitchens. And so, you know, those, which is the reason that those are there is because there's been enough growth inside of those areas that we now feel like they have to stand alone in their own category. And that's something that's constantly evolving. And so, you know, you go back to the first Franchise 500, and there was probably a gigantic category for, VHS rental stores. You don't see that as much anymore. But what we saw this year, we saw a whole bunch of things, and I'll rattle a few off, and then Leanne, I'd be curious to see with your wealth of knowledge of franchising what struck you as particularly interesting. So one thing that we saw was a real growth in first-time franchisees, which driven by the pandemic and the Great Resignation, as it's been called. You know, there's so much talk culturally about people leaving their jobs. It's not really attracting as much attention as to where those people are going. A lot of those people are going into franchising. They are discovering that this is the perfect opportunity for them to take control of their careers, their destinies, to build something for themselves. And so a lot of the brands that we talk to, and Tim, I'm sure you're seeing this yourself, are seeing just an absolute influx of people with deep corporate America experience who are now saying, I'm out and I'm ready to build something myself, and I'm interested in your brand. So that's really interesting. And I think that the kind of consequences of that and I use consequences in a kind of positive way, but the reverberations of that, I think we are only at the very beginning of seeing. So that's interesting. And then one more that I thought was interesting to see is the growth of a focus on work-life flexibility. You see that a lot. There's just even the way that a lot of franchises are marketing themselves, but also in the ones that are attracting a lot of interest, a lot of brands that either you can operate from home or that you don't have to open an office become extremely attractive. And I think that a lot of franchises are taking note of that and of the kinds of ways that people want to work now, and then are, you know, adjusting their marketing and even in some cases the way that they structure themselves to accommodate it.
Yeah. I think after when everything first hit last March, April, right, and then we're at home, and nobody other than those of us who have worked at home had no clue what to do and how to make that happen. And then I think what happened is people started to get used to that, And then it is the lifestyle, the flexibility, right? To, you know, is it like maybe they're taking their kids to school or picking them up or doing those things? And it's like, then it's, well, now you need to come back to the office. And I think so many people are like, no, I don't, right? Yeah. There's got to be another way out there, right? And for all those, as you mentioned, like those seasoned corporate executives, there's a ton of those. There's also the category, and we've had a lot of here in the last year, is millennials and even whatever the heck's younger than millennials.
Gen Z.
Right? We've had, I'm so old, I don't even know what's before millennials, right? So those 20-year-olds that are, I always tell them they're 20 years ahead of my generation and that they figured out in a few years what it took mine decades to figure out. Working for somebody else sometimes sucks, right? And maybe there's a better way to do it and find that opportunity within franchising, right?
And you know what's super interesting about that subject too is that in the years past, I mean, it might have just been a year or two ago, we ran a piece in the Franchise 500 issue about how franchises are becoming more alert to the need to recruit younger franchisees with a particular focus on you know, even Gen Z, because they're just, in some cases, entering the workforce or they're just a few years in, but that doesn't mean that they can't become a great, you know, franchisee of a small brand. And so just a couple of years ago, that's something that the industry was grappling with enough that it was something we felt like we needed to include and start a conversation with or contribute to the conversation. And then flash forward just a couple of years into it. And what's the solution? In some ways, the solution was the pandemic, which interrupted the way that people thought about growing their careers. And I think a lot of young people, just the way that it happened during the Great Recession of 2008, 2009, a lot of young people are looking around and maybe they saw their friends or their parents or their older siblings get laid off. And they said, the hell with that, right? Is there a better way? There's got to be a better way. And franchising turned out to be, for many people, that better way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've also heard a lot of stories on families buying franchises for generational growth and support, you know, just making sure that, you know, the parents will buy for the younger kids in an effort to, you know, make sure that they're stable and they're secure and, you know, then they can have a generation's worth of family business, through franchising.
Yeah. It's funny. We're literally later today, like recording another podcast episode with clients of ours, it's father, son, and they're going to work at the son's just graduating college. Father was like literally is my age and was laid off right throughout all this. And the same thing, right? Didn't want to go back, was tired of doing that, knew there was something else. And then the idea of them doing it together, like just super cool, right? That they're able to build something for themselves. Eventually, you know, dad will, you know, go off to pasture or whatever as he gets a little older. And then he's got something for one of his boys to take over. And again, I think they're seeing that more. And the weird, I don't say benefit of the pandemic, but what happened is I just think people were able to reassess their what's important to them, climbing that corporate ladder. And then you hit a ceiling. With franchising, there is no ceiling. You can build it to whatever you want, whether that's, you know, Taco Bell or that's Puroclean or something you've never even heard of that has no idea what it could be. That's what you're able to do. Right. So,
Tim, you know, I call that reconsidering the impossible, and I've seen it happen throughout the business world and particularly in franchising for the last 2 years, where people, you know, we build these boundaries around ourselves, right? We all have to. It's not no fault of ours to do it. You can't consider every single possible idea that's out there. You can't go down every single possible path. We all only have so much time in the day. And so we create some kind of filtering mechanism. We say, this is inside the boundaries and these are outside the boundaries. This makes sense. This doesn't make sense. And the problem with that, of course, is that we leave so many good ideas outside the boundaries. And when something comes along that can shake us up, it doesn't have to be a pandemic. Hopefully we do not have another one of these in our lifetimes, but anything, any kind of disruptive moment, I think the opportunity in that, hard as it can be, is that it forces us sometimes to shift the window on what we're willing to take seriously and to say, you know what, the things that are inside of the boundaries that I've drawn don't necessarily work for me anymore, which means that I have to start looking outside. And once I do, I discover that there were so many good things outside of that. You have to reconsider the impossible, the ideas that you once thought were impossible. And I think a lot of this stuff, maybe these parents, it might have occurred to them at some point, maybe I could start a business with my kid. Nah, I don't know about that. I have this career over here. They're doing this thing over there. That's not going to work. That's a crazy idea. But now look at that. Now suddenly it is possible and it's wonderful. And it would not have happened had they not been shaken into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also not knowing where to go, right? We know where to go to find another job, right? There's 47 different job boards we can go do or whatever. I might want to start my own business. I might want to look at a franchise, but I don't have $2.5 million for Taco Bell. So therefore I can't do it. And it just kind of, it kind of stops because again, they're stuck in their comfort zone. And that's, and maybe one of the other things I'd like you guys to kind of share is just some of the other resources on Entrepreneur, whether it is they want to start their own, obviously I'm going self-serving and totally a franchise is better, right? But there's all these different things where you can take, like people, you really can do it. Some of those things, maybe you've learned from the franchise perspective with the Franchise 500 or Leanne, some of the other things kind of resource-wise that are available, even for somebody to just go to, assuming you can spell Entrepreneur on the first try, go to entrepreneur.com. There's no way I'm the only person that struggles with spelling.
Don't worry. I literally was my first 2 months on the job as I started as executive editor before moving into editor in chief. My first 2 months as executive editor of Entrepreneur, I had Entrepreneur misspelled in my email signature. So don't feel bad.
Okay. That does make me feel a little bit better, but, what Liam, maybe what are some of the things that, an aspiring or like curious person out there, I would like to do something on my own, that they could find on Entrepreneur from a franchise perspective to help them get educated more.
Sure. And, we're doing a lot of work in the upcoming months of building out more and more content on the website. But we have content based on, I want to start my own business, but I don't really know where to go. And I want to start my own business. Is franchising an option? And then all of the different kind of steps throughout that journey. So like what to expect on a discovery day, you know, what are my financial options? How much money am I going to make? Do I have to work in it day to day, or you know, all the basics of franchising 101, if you will, we have that content on the website. And we continue to build out more and more content there. And then as a franchisor, I want to grow my business. What are the resources and tools that are available to me to grow my business? And then say you have a business and you have a couple of locations and you're considering franchising. So we're also building out more content that has to do with that. Not to mention, we have webinars, we have podcasts, we have books. The Wealthy Franchisee by Scott Greenberg, widely popular book right now in franchising. We have the Franchise Bible. We have the Franchise Multiplier. So many books, I can't even name them, but we do have book resources available too. So I would encourage you to continue to visit our site, get on our newsletter, get the information in your inbox. And then as we continue to grow and evolve the content over the course of the next year, we're going to take people more and more on a journey through that content. So if you are a potential franchisee, you have a path that you can take with all of these resources and educational tools that are available to you.
Yeah, awesome. And even the non-franchise stuff is still incredibly relevant, and things that I absolutely, like from a social perspective, like those are things that maybe not every day, but there's something every few days that I see in my thread for Entrepreneur that, you know, I'm stopping, I'm clicking. We've totally stole some of the stuff and sent it out to, you know, kind of to share with our clients and folks in our database as well. So all super good. What else, I guess, maybe from that Franchise 500 standpoint or some of those other categories, Leanne, that that maybe we didn't talk about that you wanted to kind of share with everybody to know maybe what's out? You mentioned one thing in particular, but talk about anything you want to. You mentioned the phrase new and emerging. Like maybe what the heck does that mean for somebody that doesn't like new is okay. We kind of get that, but emerging, there's some certain parameters around that in franchising.
There are parameters around that in franchising, but it's all very variable. I think everybody considers emerging very different. And so there's those new brands that have come out with, you know, they've got 26 corporate locations and then they've got 50 in the pipeline. So they're new and emerging, right? They're new to franchising. And so we want people to know about them. And then you've got, you know, we brought up the Happy Cat Hotel already earlier, and, you know, he's got one location that just opened, certainly new and certainly emerging. So I think it's just understanding the options that are available. And it's interesting to see the new industries, like Jason said, that are developing over the course of time out of need or creativity, the ghost kitchens and things like that. So businesses that may have already existed and have decided to franchise, there's also all the new CBD businesses and franchises. Right. So I think it's just bringing light to the new brands that are out there that I think that sometimes entrepreneur might feel so big as a platform for franchises, because we have those top 10 on the list that are almost unattainable to some people, like the Taco Bells of the world. Right. While it's a great brand, obviously number one, but you know, it's the later part of the list that's very exciting. And I think to watch those grow and watch those brands kind of pave their path is really the cool part. And then those other 600 and some brands that didn't quite make the list, but they did submit, and watching them.
Right. It doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means they're
absolutely not.
It's tough criteria to get on that list.
Exactly. It's very competitive, but they can still have a profile, and the opportunity seekers who come to our site can still see their statistics and their data that are on the site. So I don't want to sound like a commercial by any means, but it does give us all a lot of insight into what's happening in franchising. And I think it's exciting to see the new brands that are coming into the space.
Absolutely.
You're right. You can't, most people are not going to be able to afford a Taco Bell location, but you have an opportunity by looking lower in the list to catch a wave, and a really interesting wave. You can time something right. One of the pieces that we ran in the issue, for example, was about the rise, which we're seeing pop onto the list already in small ways, but the prediction here is that it could get a lot larger, of restaurants that cater specifically to vegetarians and vegans. This is something that you're seeing show up in it's important enough that the Taco Bells and the Burger Kings of the world are catering to it. They are making sure that kind of stuff is on their menu. But what could be coming next is the rise of a whole wave of really innovative, high energy brands that are catering to that, because the opportunity, I mean, just take a listen. I did not know this. So about 4% of Americans self-identify as vegan. Plant-based food sales now generate $7 billion annually, which is twice the growth rate of total food sales. So it sounds niche, but it may not be. And right. It could be, I mean, you know, I eat a lot of vegan food. I'm not vegan. And so you could look down the list, find something that's a lot more affordable for you, and walk in at just the right time. I think it's an exciting opportunity.
Yeah. The one thing I always tell people is franchising is an incredibly personalized and individualized process. And one person may love the thought of being in something that's been around for 30 years. They've got several hundred locations. The next person may feel that that's too old, stale, whatever. They want to be on the front end of that wave, right? It's not a right or wrong either way. And it's ironic Taco Bell being at the top, because I've told this story to a lot of people. We had a couple clients pre-pandemic, and they were retired, but at their height, they had owned over 50 Taco Bells, right? And then sold them off, which I'm sure they made a couple bucks off selling 50 Taco Bells, right? But when they started right out of college. They were college buddies. They had a carpet cleaning business, just the two of them. They were on the machines. They were doing everything. It started as small as humanly possible and then grew and expanded and something else and then something else. And then one Taco Bell turns into 50, right? So even if you look at that, man, that would be awesome to own 50 Taco Bells. Rarely does anybody start with their first venture. Let me do 50 Taco Bells, right? It's might be that carpet cleaning franchise. It might be the most obscure thing out there that's a great fit for you now. Grow it, build it, turn it into whatever. And again, maybe you end up owning Taco Bells or
the
vegan Taco Bell down the road, whatever that might be. So you guys have been awesome, man. Like, I think we could sit here and do this forever, but I'm sure you guys have like jobs and stuff you're supposed to do.
Supposedly.
And I'm gonna beg and plead and bribe you with some franchising 101 merch or something, but can we please get you guys back on? Cause I know we got a whole slew of other things to be able to talk about. So can I put you on the spot and commit you to that? So
sold.
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. Leanne just wants more merch. So
I do.
Cool. So I really thank you guys. Anything before I let you go and do your real gigs, franchise 500, entrepreneur, I'm going to kind of just give you the floor. Anything else you'd like to share with everybody today, about entrepreneur.com, about the franchise 500?
Yeah, I would love to say that we have all new social channels to add to your list to follow, and they're all at Franchise 500. So it's all things franchising. So on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, it's at Franchise 500. We also are, you'll see a franchise500.com website where we're going to start building out a lot of that content, like I mentioned. And say hi to us at all of the events coming up. We'll be at the franchise shows. We'll be at the MFB shows. We'll be at IFA, which I'm super excited about to see everybody in person. So just look for a lot more coming from Entrepreneur.
Awesome. And I will say a couple of years ago, I was invited to speak to a franchisee convention of Dream Vacations, which meant that it was on a cruise. And so I did the talk and it went well and everyone was very nice. And then I went to one of their parties a little bit later and this woman sees me and comes running up with a copy of Entrepreneur and she flips it open. This is like years old magazine. And she flips it open to the page where in a listing, she had just been going through and saw Dream Vacations and circled it and then went to find more information. And then became a Dream Vacations franchisee and has hung on to that magazine ever since. And travels with it. I don't know why she had it with her, but anyway, I'll tell you that moment really struck me because from my perspective, from our perspective, it shows you the meaningfulness of the things that we produce. You don't just put something, it's hard. You put something, I mean, this is any business, right? You make something, you spend a lot of time doing it, you put it out into the world. You don't often see how people interact with it or consume it or how it impacts their lives. And so in some ways, it just feels like shoveling things into a vacuum. But every once in a while, you get a nice little glimpse of how it actually does impact people. And that's pretty valuable. But then also from her perspective, it was just remarkable to see how even just spending a little time going through some options,
right.
A list of companies that each one of them in some way is like a sliding door experience where she could have circled some other company and had some other completely different life experience. She happened to circle this one and was on a cruise with me. And that's so cool. And that's what I think the power of these kinds of things are, where there's a million potential paths in front of you. And Tim, like you said, it's a personal decision about which one to take, but what an exciting place to be at the beginning of that journey.
Yeah. It's cheesy, but it's life-changing. Right. And really, and for, I think everybody, and Leanne, you mentioned this, like, I think everybody in franchising, just like how they got into it. It's like, well, I just kind of stumbled into it, or it was dumb luck, or I didn't want to, like, and then you get in and then you're, it's like the mob, you're in there forever, right? So you can't get out unless you don't really want to. So super cool. So we've got all sorts of things for people to pay attention to now. Entrepreneur.com. I'm sure everybody had that bookmarked anyway. Franchise 500 on all the social media. Jason, I'm going to give you my second and third favorite podcast out there. Number one, of course, Franchising 101, Problem Solvers and Build for Tomorrow.
Thank you,
Jason. Those are awesome. And problem solving. Absolutely, guys. We're going to talk about that another time, how key that is to entrepreneurship, franchise ownership. So check those out. Of course, if I may, francoach.net, franchising101podcast.net, our sites. We're everywhere on social, all the different podcast things. If this has inspired somebody to learn more about franchise ownership, please check us out. Give us a call. Let's set something up. There's never any fee for our service, so we'll be able to take care of you. Leanne, Jason, thank you so much for coming on and joining us today and telling us all about these amazing things at entrepreneur.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. And thanks everybody for listening. As always, reach out if you'd like to learn some more. We'll let you roll. Hopefully we'll talk to everybody again soon. Thanks so much for joining us and have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to FranCoach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.